This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wapagan Apke Pagan. Joining me today is Bahe Yusuf. Think Big Big is the brand new film from Chu Keng Guan, or he prefers to be called just Chu.
The director formerly known as.
Correct. He, of course, is the man responsible for The Journey and Ola Bola, both massive Malaysian blockbusters.
Surprisingly, I mean, not surprisingly for us, but just like it took everybody by storm.
It did. And this one, however, is a far more intimate movie to the other two. It tells the story of Moon, a confident plus-size girl who is kind of happy and content with her life as a mascot at, where was it? Oh, Sunway.
Yes.
It's all over the movie.
It's all over the film. All Sunway properties.
And she loves nothing more than to hang out with her group of friends until something bad happens. There's an accident and she suddenly has to repay 50,000 ringgit because of an accident involving a video shoot. And the agency has no insurance.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Which is pretty much any Malaysian advertising shoot.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what happens is she gets roped into a competition, like a Biggest Loser type competition to lose weight. And the story kind of goes down that path of what happens when you lose weight, what happens when your life gets taken over by social media, because she becomes like the people's princess, right?
Yeah.
She becomes an example to everyone. Fat girl does good.
Yes.
That's essentially what this is.
She becomes a social media personality.
She does.
Yeah.
And how it takes over and eventually kind of ruins her life.
Yeah.
This is a very... It's a movie with a very singular message. And that's pretty much it. And it's a story of redemption as well, how she kind of comes back from that.
Mm.
It is everything you will expect. There is nothing surprising about this film.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of heart.
Yeah.
It's competently made.
Well, I mean, I think it's a little better than competently made. I think some of the shots are beautiful. They've got some really nice shots. Not only just...
To be fair, Chu knows where to point his camera.
Yeah, but it's not just that. See, like in the previous two films, he was able to... Or rather, he showed his adeptness at finding beautiful shots. Like you're saying, pointing the camera in the right areas, right? But in this particular one, there were a couple of really, really imaginative shots. Stuff that he used with computer generation, or just not really CG, but just the way he splices two images together, right? The final shot of this film is just beautiful.
It is.
It's just beautiful. It's something you'd put on a wall almost.
He's kind of moved away from his Chuti Chuti Malaysia shots.
Yeah.
To create these moments that are quite intimate and work very well within the context of the film.
Yeah.
Some of the most beautiful shots in this movie involve just one or two people having quiet moments together.
Mm.
And I think that's where this movie does really, really well.
Yeah.
That being said, it still kind of left me wanting.
Mm, I agree.
I don't know what I was expecting from this movie.
Yeah, and I think part of that is it falls into quite a lot of the regular tropes, I think. You know, you were saying earlier about a redemption aspect of the film, and there is a redemption aspect, but the redemption aspect is very quick. It's very, I wouldn't say easy, but in the film, it's just very quick.
A lot of the time, movies by Malaysian filmmakers feel like movies by people who've seen Western films, and then think, okay, I'm going to write a similar story and I'm going to copy those character tropes,
yeah,
but without actually copying the character arcs.
Yes.
And that's what I found was missing from this movie,
yeah,
in that the resolution, like you said, happened very quickly. Characters did things because these characters should do these things.
Mm.
Oh, okay, here is the male character, best friend, might secretly be in love with her. This is how he should act and behave.
Mm.
Here is the agency owner who is evil and mean and manipulative. and she needs to act in this way.
Yeah.
Her resolution has to be this because, well, I've seen a dozen movies where this is what the character does.
This is what happens, yeah.
But of course, there's no satisfying arc to any of these characters. So when it happens, it's predictable. But at the same time, you're just going, eh, okay.
A lot of the, I mean, the sad problem, the sad fact is of the matter is that you mentioned the friend who may secretly be in love with her, and you mentioned the agency boss. And the agency boss should have been the villain of this film, right?
Social media was the villain of this film, but hey.
But no. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that resolution with her, with the agency boss was just very easy. She just felt like there was no real, like, I'm not expecting like a big boss fight or anything, but I was expecting a resolution to that story.
Because all of the resolutions in this movie, all of the conflict in this movie is literally resolved by a series of monologues.
Yes.
And that works if you're Aaron Sorkin. That works if you can write a great monologue that's entirely rooted in the conflict between two individuals.
Not only that, but like with regards to, say, you mentioned Aaron Sorkin, there's a lot of build-up to that monologue.
Correct.
There's a reason for that monologue to have happened, as opposed to just a, I'm really sorry, guys, I screwed up. You know, that's not a good enough resolution, right? In this particular instance, I wouldn't say she... Well, actually, no, I did. I would say that because she essentially borrows money from her friends. Sorry, let me take that back. Her friends give her money.
Correct.
Yeah, so she doesn't even ask them for it.
They're being good friends.
They're being good friends. They give her money. And she sort of starts to slowly ignore them and get away from them. And at the end, there's just like a quick, sorry, guys, I effed up. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't think that's enough. Like, if I was one of those friends, I'd be like, no, no. No, 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 no.
Wait a minute.
I gave you $5,000.
there also needs to be more creative subtitling in local movies. First of all, there were no English subtitles in this film. So if you don't understand, read and understand BM, then maybe this film isn't for you because
This film isn't for you because you won't be able to keep up.
No, this film definitely isn't for you because you're not going to be able to keep up with just pictures alone.
Yeah.
However... I find that a lot of the comedy was lost because I think the subtitles were purely functional.
Mm.
I find when I watch foreign films and when I watch Japanese movies or Korean movies, even Hong Kong movies, the humor is not lost on me.
Yeah.
French, Italian movies, I understand it because I think the subtitles do more than just translate what is in the script.
Yes.
There's contextual translation.
Yes.
And I don't know how much that happens in local productions.
Well, I think...
I want to say no.
Yeah, based on Think Big, it doesn't.
You know,
there's just a direct translation of what the characters' dialogues are. And sure, I guess, I mean, yeah, you read a joke, it's funny, but when a joke is told to you, it's a completely different thing. But at the same time, I'm not entirely sure how you can contextualize dialogue, contextualize comedy, contextualize emotion in written word. Like, I haven't seen that many, so I really need to, you know, defer to you on this.
I think you can.
Yeah.
I think even if you take something as popular as, say, Life is Beautiful, the Italian film Roberto Benigni.
Yeah.
It is a very difficult movie to contextualize from the point of view of humor because it is set in... It's set in a concentration camp. Everyone is dying.
Yeah.
And yet the humor does translate beyond Roberto Benigni's slapstick.
Mm.
Some of the wordplay translates as well. And I think that has a lot to do with contextual subtitling.
Is that just then better writing, though?
I think it may be better writing.
Yeah.
It may be better writing. It may be... I mean, I use that as an example because this movie contains a lot of slapstick humor as well.
Yes.
So it's a lot of in-your-face humor. And yet it didn't translate. And I know a lot of people... We were talking about this as we stepped out of the cinema. A lot of people will say, oh, well, maybe you're not the audience for this film.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I think we should be the audience for this film.
No, I think if we keep using that as a defense or as a shield to why a film doesn't appreciate or how one group of people don't appreciate a film, you sort of never settle in on society, right? Like, for example, Black Panther is not made for that particular group. Black Panther is just a movie made for everybody. People in China are loving Black Panther. People in Malaysia are loving Black Panther.
And meanwhile, it's set in a fictional African country, but it's a very African-American
movie. It's a very Afrocentric film, right? Correct. So in this particular instance, if you tell me that, we want the target market for the movie, then I'll go, well, then you've missed out an opportunity. Then you're just making a film for one small target, for a one target market, and what's the point?
Correct. A Malaysian movie can't just be an Ola Bola, which is an emotionally manipulative, patriotic film, right?
Yeah.
I take Journey as a good example. Yeah. Journey is a very Chinese story.
Yes.
And yet it did appeal across the board.
Yes.
I mean, the only way a movie in Malaysia, I guess, makes 17 million or 18 million, I don't know what the final number was for The Journey, is for that movie to actually cross the racial and linguistic divide.
To.
Right?
There's no way people are rewatching that movie that many times. And I'm sure a lot of people did rewatch it, but not enough to make up those kind of numbers. You would have to have gotten a lot of the, let's be honest, you have to have gotten the Malay audience for that.
We watched this movie yesterday, which was the third day of Chinese New Year, and the cinema was full.
The cinema was full. And I think, to go back to what you were saying earlier, the cinema was laughing.
They were.
Yeah, so it was just me and you staring at each other going, did we miss something? Because that dialogue wasn't that funny in the subtitles, right?
Correct, it wasn't. That may go a long way to making us appreciate this movie more. I'm not saying it's a bad film. I think it's a perfectly acceptable Malaysian movie.
I was expecting something I could watch. I could be entertained and not have to go in as an assignment.
This felt like a TV movie.
You're right. It does.
With the exception of some of those exceptional shots, obviously.
I mean, look, even if with the exceptional shots, you would think that they were just really well done for TV. And, you know, and look, there's, I mean, when we say it's for TV, we don't mean production values were low. We mean the storytelling just did not have the grandeur of cinema.
It didn't have the grandeur of cinema, and also I don't felt that it told me anything necessarily new. Mm. So even the social media aspect of the story is, yes, it's lifted directly from the headlines or lifted directly from social media, if you will. And I felt that it was just too little, too late in approaching this particular subject of how a woman attains fame, a little bit of fortune, and loses herself in the process.
Yeah.
There's a very old movie, one that you were a part of, called Relationship Status.
Well, yes.
And it was directed by Kai Baha. And I still find that movie incredibly interesting because I think it addressed these issues surrounding social media at a time when very few people were talking about it. And in that sense, I found that movie to be quite prescient.
For what you're saying, I think you're right. Think Big Big just felt too late to the party, you know. And I mean, even with the social media stuff, I mean, again, this is just because we're not the target market, again, as I bring it up. A lot of the social media text, well, actually all of the social media supposed text that's on screen is in Chinese. So we didn't know what was going on. Those weren't subtitled.
That's true. The subtitling and translation was all over the place for this film. Some things were subtitled, some things weren't.
Yeah.
It makes it very difficult to watch this movie if you're not a native speaker.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think that's the kind of thing where I felt they could have sort of mixed it up a little bit, right? But yeah.
All right. Go check out Think Big Big. It's now showing in cinemas. Let us know what you think of the movie. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.